It's actually Mackie, but I didn't tell you that in advance, so how would you have known, Naomi? But thank you so much for a lovely introduction. I had a handout, but it's not essential at all. I'm going to say everything on it, and it's quite simple. If you want to find a list of the books I mentioned on the handout, if you go to my website, www.marymackie.com, you will find all of these books listed. And you will also find an email, a way to contact me through my website. So, but you don't need this handout. I only made it up an hour ago. I wasn't going to do it at all. So I had no idea there'd be so many people. I apologize for not making more copies. I didn't know this would be such a hot topic, but I'm glad it is because it's really essential. Let me start in a little bit. I think when somebody tells you how to do something, you should know who's telling you and what she has to say. I am the author of 14 published novels, okay? Been published by Doubleday, Putnam, Simon & Schuster, etc. Of those 14 novels, I have sold 11 based on a 1-to-2 paragraph plot summary. Now, I'll talk about that in a minute. This is a technique, it's a talent, it's a way to do it. I'll tell you why to do it in a minute, but I just want to tell you what novels I did that with. The Last Warrior Queen was one of my novels that I did that with. That was published by Putnam. A Grand Passion, Simon & Schuster, made the New York Times bestseller list. Kindness of Strangers, Simon & Schuster. Season of Shadows, Bantam. The Year the Horses Came, Harper's San Francisco. The Horses at the Gate, Harper's San Francisco. The Fires of Spring, Penguin. The Stand-In, published by Kensington Books under the name Kate Clemens, which was my pen name because I did something different. I'll just show you a couple of these books in a minute. And Sweet Revenge, about a woman who starts a revenge consulting service after her boyfriend leaves her at the altar. Almost enough said. It made my husband said he never wanted to cross me. Also Kensington Books. And then I'm going to have a book called The Widow's War coming up from Putnam Berkeley Books in the fall of 2009. And I just want to show you a couple of these books. These are the paperback copies. Some of them also came out in hardback.
What's the new one about?
The new one is about a woman who rides with a group of African-American soldiers and fights with them in the first battle of African-American soldiers in the Civil War. And it takes place in the very early days. And Maxine Hong Kingston was just kind enough to read it and tell me she loved it, so that's going to be on the cover. These are my two pseudonym books, Kate Clemens, and these were they're just you can see they're very popular aimed at younger audiences. And so what I'm showing you these partly to show you that I've done this through different genres. So I usually write fairly serious literary fiction and historical fiction, but I've also done this in very much popular fiction. So I want you to see these. This is The Notorious Mrs. Winston. It came out last year. It's also a novel set in the Civil War era. It's about a woman who leaves her husband to, an abolitionist woman who leaves her husband to join her lover, who's a Confederate lieutenant, and gets swept up accidentally in a huge Confederate raid and fights in the Civil War disguised as a man. And it's done it very well, and has a lot of cross appeal to both, you know, women are traditionally the people who buy fiction. This has also had a lot of appeal for male readers because it combines all sorts of very interesting historical things about a big raid in the Civil War with also a very kind of passionate love story, erotic love story. This actually, and I'm not trying to, I don't sell my own books, but the bookstore downstairs has these, and I sign them. So if you're interested, they're also very easy to obtain. If the bookstore is out, they're easy to get online. These two books, which were put back in print recently by the Authors Guild, are part of a trilogy I wrote about Europe 6,000 years ago that involved the goddess-worshipping cultures of old Europe and a look at the early ecology of the planet Earth before we all messed it up. And one of the reasons it changed. This is The Year the Horses Came. That's the first book in the trilogy. And this is The Fires of Spring, the last book. And what's interesting, oh, you've got it back there. Hi, good for you. Yeah. Thank you. Oh, good. You've got the original cover. I like these covers so much better, but that's another story. The reason I'm showing you these is that I did not intend to sell these as a trilogy. But after I have some examples, after I wrote them, I was able to use very short plot summaries to get two more books because the first one did well enough. that's not enough about me, gosh, for a writer, whatever it is. But I want to get so much you're here for. I want to talk to you about what a plot summary is useful for, why you need it, and I want to read you some examples of it. And, excuse me, I have a slight cough. I'm not infectious, but I'm getting over something. And then I want to take questions from you, and I want to leave plenty of time for questions. Let me tell you how I decided to write this course. I taught creative writing. I recently retired from Cal State Sacramento, and now I'm teaching a graduate seminar in women's spiritual poetry and fiction at CIIS over here in the city. But for many years, I taught at Cal State Sacramento. I was one of the founders of the creative writing program, and I taught both writing film scripts and writing prose fiction for years, and both at the graduate and undergraduate level. And a few years, and I was always telling people, yeah, well, now you've got your novel, now what you need to do is write a plot summary and send it off. And, you know, usually the students, that was after they came back, and they didn't usually show me their plot summary. This summer, one of my students, one of my old students, sent me his, said, would you look at my plot summary? And usually I don't do individual classes, I don't do this, but he was a student who had been a very good student. I looked at his plot summary, and it was horrible. It was terrible. I knew that as soon as he turned it in, they were going to throw it in the wastebasket. And I thought, my God, here's a talented writer, and he doesn't know how to summarize his own work. And I realized that doing this was a skill. I mean, I should have known that it was a skill I had, but I had come up both writing film scripts and novels pretty much simultaneously. And one thing you learn when you write a film script is to write a short synopsis, because the attention span of Hollywood at the beginning is extremely short. So you need an interview. So I realized that I went over his plot summary with him, and I told him what to do. And kicking and screaming, he took a plot summary of 5 pages that was incomprehensible. And I said, you're going to put this in 2 paragraphs. I said, I won't look at it, so you put it in 2 paragraphs. And he put it in 2 paragraphs, and then I showed him how to fix it and pare it down some more. And that was the reason that I decided to do this seminar here, because I realized that writers need this. Well, why do you need a 1 to 2 paragraph plot summary? Well, let me say first of all, and with all honesty, that you are very unlikely to sell your first novel with that plot summary. You need a track record. I didn't sell my first novel with that plot summary. In fact, I had 2 novels that I had to write completely until I had a novel that did very well with Doubleday, called McCarthy's List, and that then made it possible for me to submit a plot summary and a few chapters, what's called submitting in partial, and get a contract that way. And then after that, as my track record improved, I was able to start with an initial plot summary to get interest, and then write longer plot summaries after that. But what do you need a plot summary for? Some of you may already be published novelist, so this may be beyond you, but I imagine many of you aren't. Excuse me. Even if you aren't a published novelist, you have to get an agent. And as many of you know, getting an agent, and I think you've all been involved in that today, many of you, is almost as hard as getting published, if not harder, at the beginning. And what you need to interest an agent is a good plot summary. And I'll talk about the difference between that and a pitch in a minute. But you need a 1 to 2 paragraph plot summary first to get yourself an agent. Okay. Once you've got a track record, you've gotten yourself an agent, or even when your agent's trying to sell your novel, you need that plot summary to get an editor interested in your work. Innumerable manuscripts cross the desks of editors and agents. They need to see immediately something of interest in that. I will elaborate on that in a minute. So you need to get an agent, you need it to get an editor interested in your work, you need it to sell the movie rights, you should be so lucky, but it happens. A couple of my books have been optioned, one is optioned right now for film, and you need it to, it's helpful to sell foreign rights. It's not essential to sell foreign rights because they're usually sold after the novel's published, but it's helpful to sell foreign rights. It's also helpful to anybody who's doing publicity on your work at your publishing house, so that you can say to the publicity department, here's what the book's about, because they're not going to read all the books they publicize. And it's great, it helps you get better covers, okay, because the people look at it and they know more about what the cover is about. And then it also can serve, if you do it right, you can cannibalize some of it for your jacket copy and your back copy on it. So these are the reasons you need to be able to do this well and reliably. Well, how is it different from a pitch? there's some similarities and there's some differences. It's always submitted in written form. This isn't something you say to somebody. This is something you labor on that looks very simple, very easy, very kind of almost tossed off. And you have gone over every word of it 100 times and revised it 20 times. It cannot look like advertising copy. Okay? It's not, this is the greatest book ever to come out of this. It can't look like advertising copy. It's got to look like a plot summary. And if it looks too much like advertising copy, people will just decide it's trash. They won't read it. That's not what they're interested in. It has to go beyond the core idea and give people a sense of your abilities as a writer. The essential ability to condense, to write coherently, to write briefly and directly, and to write in an interesting fashion is essential here. And it must convince whoever reads it that you have a plot that will work and characters that will interest the reader. It's a lot to ask for a paragraph. I'll go back over that, shall I? More slowly. Let me do that again. It's submitted in written form. It can't look like advertising copy. It has to go beyond the core idea and give a sense of your abilities as a writer. And it has to convince whoever reads it that you have a plot that will work and characters that will interest your readers. Okay. How is it different from your own plot summary, the one you made when you were writing the book so you knew where you were going? Now, some writers don't make plot summaries before they start writing. They discover the plot. It unfolds for them. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Many great writers do that. I'm a nervous person. I like to know where I'm going. I'm always willing to change where I'm going if something happens that's better. But I want to know when I start a novel how it's going to end. It helps a lot and it saves a lot of time with rewriting. So all my novels I outline for myself. But that is not what I'm giving my agents and my editors. It's more, less complex than my plot summary. Because my plot summary, I need to keep track of the details so I know what's going on. It can be read by someone who has no idea where I'm going or what I'm trying to do. When I write a plot summary for myself, of course, I know who the characters are and what they're doing and where I'm going. It's like your own grocery list. If you write bread, you may mean sourdough bread, French bread, whole wheat bread. You don't have to put that down. You know. But who's ever reading your plot summary will not know things like this. It has to provide emotional clues that is different than your own plot summary. It's a very delicate balance because it's a little flat-footed. I mean, you sometimes have to say things like handsome and beautiful and passionate and emotional. You have to put these words in while not stepping over the line into advertising copy because you have to give the editors and agents a feeling of what's at stake here and what kind of book it's going to be. It's not going to be some boring, long book or, you know, and you also have to it has to grab the attention of the person who's reading it. And despite the fact that this summary can't look like advertising copy, you are not using this to guide yourself. You are using it to sell your novel. So you have to keep that balance. And you have to make it right, come out there. I'd say 1 to 2 paragraphs. Often the way it works is that you want one paragraph that's really tight, and then you want to be able to produce a one-paragraph, more complex plot summary for your novel. So that often that's the second thing that you